I just commend that to you to think about in this Advent season. How do you pray? Do you pray the Lord's Prayer? Do you use the prayers that Ellie says? But how do you pray? Do you go deeper into your prayer life in this Advent time? But also, just to celebrate, isn't it, the wonderful good news that we have in Christian faith? So we know, I read books by atheists, and I do it to depress myself, really. And the latest one I read is Derren Brown, Happy. And just think of the lack of hope there is, a lack of real hope there is for his life, for his understanding of the world. And we know that God is good, we have purpose, the world is good. We know we need a saviour because the world's gone wrong, there is sin in the world. We rejoice that Christ is amongst us and brings that salvation to our lives. And we know that we need transformation. Every one of us needs to know how to love a bit better and to go on being better in Christ. And we get the Holy Spirit to do that. All this wonderful good news. And that is in 3 weeks' time, we're going to have a massive celebration here. The balloons will go up because all of that is possible. All is here in Christ. And then we go on to the next slide. I'm gone. Thank you very much, thank you. And so that's the first Advent theme, that glorious good news about Christmas, but also the second Advent theme, then there will be an end of time, an end of history. Ooh, and I've gone too far, I'll go back again. That's the one I wanted. So the second coming of Christ. And Jesus says, you can see the signs that there will be an end time, that there will be, this world as we know it, will come to an end. And I just wonder what you do when you see signs that need to be observed. And we'll talk about the signs Jesus gave in a moment. But what about these? Do you know what these mean when you see them? Do you understand what that one means on the left there? If you see a sign like that, what do you do? What does it mean? You might have a shout out, Hannah. I haven't got the microphone, I'm afraid. It means danger, doesn't it? Keep away from it. I don't think if it's on a tin of something, you wouldn't drink it as a tin of Coca-Cola, would you? I mean, you might be very dead afterwards. And then there's this one. What do you think this one means? I've crossed out the word there that would give it away. If you see that sign, what do you think it means? We've got Tom again, but Charlie, yep.
Fall off a cliff.
Fall off a cliff, yeah, it might be. Don't fall off a cliff. Could be that one. Tom?
Don't jump
in the swimming pool. Yeah, okay. You can take that as a... Maybe. Anyone else? We'll give you this one then. We'll move on. Oh, there we are. There's that one. And that was a slippery floor, apparently. And let me just see what we got coming up next. We got this one, which is risk of, what's that? Any electricians in the house? Richard Hampton should know. Yeah. What do you mean, Richard? Oh, yeah. Beware of electricity. What about this one? Beware of? Right at the back there, is it William? It could be a cliff again. It's actually one that I have to take notice of with Jenny and my wife when we're on our bike tours. Use of caution on the towpath. And I'm very aware. It's nearly happened to us once or twice. So you're cycling along and then you hit a rut and whoa, could be in the water. So wearing there. And then you get some other warnings. And these are all things that we have to take note of, aren't they? If they're there, you observe them. And you respond to them. You don't just go on and ignore them. So here's one or two more. I don't know if you can read that at the back. I'll read it to you. If warning, if you're not reading this with high-powered binoculars, you're standing in my shooting range. So you might well just be start to take a bit of action then. If you find you're reading that close up, wouldn't you? You would respond to it pretty quickly if you read that. And then there's this one here, which is, in case of fire, exit building before tweeting about it. Now, you laugh, but did you see on the news a couple of weeks ago, they interviewed some school children about the safety procedures if there's an incident in the school, and they said, what would you do? And one of them said, I'd tweet about it straight away. So, this is worth knowing. And then what about this one? You'd take note of this, surely. What's going on there? Any idea what's happening there? What do you think? What's going on? Yeah, don't dangle your children over crocodiles or don't feed them to crocodiles. And then you might get some really bizarre signs, a bit like this one, caution tomatoes. No idea what that one's about. But generally, if you just flick back over those, you know all of those, don't you? There are warnings there that we have to take heed of and we have to respond to them. And here, Jesus says there are signs. There are signs that this world is out of kilter and it will come to an end. And they are. They're not great reading. I'm not going to read them all out to you. Matthew 24, it does talk about there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, there will be wars. It's like reading, looking at the 10 o'clock news. And all of this, he says, goes on and on. These, he says, are signs that the world is out of kilter. But then all the New Testament is very consistent that Christ returns and he comes as the King of Kings, and he comes to bring back God's rule, the new heaven, the new earth. And beautiful reading in Revelation, God will wipe every tear from our eyes and he will live with us forever. Also, though, there is another part which I can't disguise. He talks about judgment. He says, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the poor? Did you lead a life that was intentional, that you used what God had given to you, used it for his kingdom? There is a questioning and some sort of separation. And so I have to include that part. But again, it's good news, I believe, because our lives matter. We can't just pass through this life just aiming aimlessly through. Our lives matter. What we do has meaning and purpose, Jesus says. So how are we to prepare? How are we to get ready? Well, James and Grandad normally help us with various things in these services, and James and Grandad might give us a bit of thought about how to help prepare us for the end of time, the second coming of Christ.
James, what are you doing? Are you still playing on that Xbox? You're going to get square eyes. Oh, come and tell me about your week.
Hi, Grandad. Do you really think my eyes might turn square? That would be so cool.
James, I really do think you spend too much time staring at that screen. Now, why don't you tell me what you've been doing with yourself all week?
Oh, nothing much, really, Grandad.
Isn't your school preparing for the visit of the Queen? She must be coming soon.
Oh, yes, we are. But I'm getting rather bored with it all, really. We seem to have been getting ready for ages.
So what have you been doing?
Well, we've been painting some pictures to decorate our classroom. I got a bit bored with that, so I decided to paint something a little bit more interesting.
Like what, James?
Like the floor.
What do you mean the floor?
Well, I thought that when important people come to visit, you normally put down a red carpet, don't you? So I knew we didn't have a red carpet at school. So I painted a nice long red stripe of paint right down the middle of the classroom so that when the Queen visits, she can walk on it.
Well, what did Miss Smith think about that?
She didn't see it until I'd finished. And the funny thing was, she went the same colour as the paint and ran out of the classroom.
Can I ask what sort of paint you were using?
It was oil paint, Grandad.
Oh, poor Miss Smith.
Well, what else have you been doing to prepare?
Well, in cookery, because I love cookery, we've been making special sweets for her to eat.
And what sort of sweets?
Well, peppermint creams, orange creams, chilli creams, lemon...
Did I hear you right then, James? Chilli creams? I've never heard of those before.
They are my own invention. That will give the Queen a new taste sensation, won't it, Grandad?
I suppose it will. I don't expect Miss Smith knows about those, does she?
No. She left us to make things by ourselves, and I found the chilli powder in the cupboard. It must have been left behind after the last cookery class.
Apart from painting and cooking, what have you been anything else to prepare?
Oh, yes, Grandad. Loads and loads of things. In fact, all rather boring, like writing stories, writing poems, making models. I'm fed up with it, Grandad.
It'll all have been worth it when the Queen eventually arrives, won't it, James?
Oh, yes. It will be a wonderful day, because Miss Smith says that she's going to shake each one of us by the hand and speak to us. I'm practicing my posh's voice. Good morning, Your Royal Highness. What a pleasure it is for your humble servant, James Augustus Horace Wilfred William Henry Beaumont, to meet you.
Hang on a minute. What's all this with the names? Those aren't all your names.
I know, but I want to impress her, and then I shall take a bow. And I'm so excited about that. And then as a class, we're all going to have our photo taken with her, and then we're going down to sit down and eat.
Don't tell me your chili cream.
Yes. And we will have a chance to show her our work. Yes, I am looking forward to her coming, even though we seem to have been waiting for ages.
What day is she coming, James?
Oh, one Saturday, I think. We all have to be at school by 9 o'clock in the morning, as she is arriving at 9:30. Miss Smith thinks we'll be home again by lunchtime.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, look at the time. Do excuse me, James, I must go and put on the television. A few minutes' time, it's the England-Scotland rugby match, and I've been looking forward to watching it. The day is etched on my memory. Saturday, February 16th.
Did you say Saturday, February the 16th, Grandad?
Yes, James, I did. Why?
Saturday, February the 16th is the day Miss Smith told us the Queen is coming. Grandad, what time is it?
It's 2:55, James. You've been watching television and playing on your Xbox all morning. Are you sure it's today that the Queen is coming?
Yes, Grandad, it was today, and I've missed it. Oh, why wasn't I ready?
We can we not, be so busy through this life that we just miss the point and that we're not ready. We're not ready for Christ. We're not ready for Christmas in 3 weeks' time. All the other stuff we might be ready with, the parcels and decorations, but actually to receive Christ. And similarly, for the end of our life, we all come to an end and there will be this end of history. Are we ready? Are we anticipating and being open? And just one last main slide to show you. That was a quote from one of the books that I read over the last 6 weeks. And it's by whose name I'm not going to pronounce, it's on the screen, but the title is Sapiens, A Brief History of Mankind. And he says, it's a fascinating book, it's a bestseller, I recommend it to you. He says, we are on the threshold of both heaven and hell. History has still not decided where we will end up, that is, as human race. And there you can see the signs again. The signs of humanity in the next century could be heaven or it could be hell. What the Christian faith tells us, there will be heaven with God's intervention, God's coming to us. But one way or another, the same thing, be prepared, live intentionally for the King of Kings, for heaven, the new earth to come. And remember above all, this Advent time and leading into Christmas, that indeed, the faith we have is wonderful good news. Amen.